Searching for a home? The Real Commute tool from Realtor.com lets you find homes right where you need to be. Find a home 10 minutes from work, 15 from school, and 20 from grandma's. With over 500,000 new listings every month, you're just minutes from finding your perfect home on Realtor.com. Trust the number one site real estate professionals trust. Search now on Realtor.com. Based on average new for sale and rental listings July 2024 through June 2025. Number one trusted based on August 2025 proprietary survey among real estate professionals.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, March 31st. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. While AI has some companies reducing their entry-level workforce, IBM announced it plans to triple hiring at that level in the U.S. this year. Their HR chief explains the move, one she says prioritizes growth over productivity. Then, OpenAI's decision last week to shut down its video generation app, Sora, came as a shock to most. We dive into why the company decided to scrap its most hyped product since ChatGPT, and what it tells us about where the industry is headed. First up, last week at the WSJ Leadership Institute's Chief People Officer Summit in Menlo Park, California, the WSJ's Chip Cutter spoke with Nicole Lamoureux, IBM's Chief Human Resources Officer, to discuss how AI is revolutionizing productivity for many companies and changing the way many approach hiring for entry-level work. But Lamoureux says it's key to look beyond the short term. Here's a selection of their conversation.
What do you think when you think about sort of how AI changes jobs right now? Maybe some roles can just go away entirely. There will be new ones created too. But how do you think about that debate?
So a couple things we need to remember. AI is not free. It is costing the company money. So where do we want them directing that to get the biggest return? The AI is pretty amazing. Whether it's agentic or generative or automation, it's pretty amazing. And it can do a lot of work that exists in your companies today that you're not even thinking about, it can do. And so what if I told you 3 years from now, 50% of the work done in your company could be done by AI, but that you had to keep your headcount flat? That's the question we should be asking our leadership teams.
Is that how you're thinking about it?
Absolutely. What new products would you build? What new clients would you go after? This idea of AI just driving efficiency and productivity and cost savings, look, it does. But our CEO has also been clear. It's not just saving straight to the bottom line. It's how are you going to reinvest? Are you having this idea of moving from AI to productivity to AI to growth?
So if you had a guess, 3 years from now, will IBM be the same size it is right now? What, have fewer people, more people? Like, what does that look like?
It's hard to tell, but if I had a crystal ball, more. And, you know, many saw the announcement that we made that we are tripling entry-level hiring. In an era where so many people are pulling back completely, doing zero, or where they're shaving it a little bit, half, you know, as they're figuring this out. But this idea of, hey, we want to start thinking about talent, human talent, about where are we going to go deploy that to drive growth. That is what we've got to think about.
I'm so intrigued by that entry-level hiring call. Yeah. It got a lot of attention. What's the business case for that? And if it is such a smart move to bring in more entry-level people right now, why are so few companies doing that?
It's because they're in this productivity mindset versus the growth mindset. So I will acknowledge, if I look at our entry-level hiring of, you know, and the jobs that we had 2 years ago, AI can do almost all of it. So I acknowledge it's a very logical discussion. If you are in a productivity mindset of driving cost savings, generating profit, then you are going to say, I don't need this. It's a logical decision in the short term. But I'd argue that there's maybe a better decision definitely in the medium term. What do you drive to? How can your software developers, rather than maintain products, given they know code, can you put them on squads where they're actually developing and interacting with clients about new products, new features? It's a growth mentality, but I also think that it will ensure that we are successful a few years from now, because what's going to happen 3, 4, 5 years from now as middle managers retire, leave, get promoted, move on, and you've got to fill that part of the organization? So to me, this is a business proposition. This is not just a benevolent, good for society, bring in entry-level hires. There's a business proposition when you think about deploying this talent to the growth areas and new areas of business, but it also then helps in your longer-term talent strategy.
That was WSJ reporter Chip Cutter speaking with IBM's Chief Human Resources Officer, Nicolas Moreau, at the WSJ Leadership Institute's Chief People Officer Summit. You can find the full chat linked in the show notes. How do you think AI is changing entry-level work? If you're a listener on Spotify, leave us a comment with your thoughts. Coming up, OpenAI's video generation app Sora was supposed to make a big splash in pop culture and entertainment. Instead, it got scrapped last week. We'll explain why after the break.
Access to affordable credit helps me pay my employees, but I don't really need it.
Inflation is killing me. But who cares? Big retailers are making record profits. That's why we support the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
See? Banks and credit unions help small businesses make payroll. This bill would cut the vital resources they need.
While increasing megastore profits. They deserve it, don't they?
Tell Congress, stop the Durbin Marshall money grab for corporate megastores.
Paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
Last September, OpenAI's video generation app Sora shot to the top of the Apple Store the week of its launch. In just a few minutes, users could create a short video of whatever they typed as a prompt. The app quickly hit 1 million downloads, and at the end of last year, it announced a multi-year licensing partnership with Disney. But last week, just 6 months later, OpenAI pulled the plug. WSJ reporter Berber Jin spoke with people familiar with the matter for an exclusive look behind the scenes of that decision. And he's with me now to discuss how it all shook out. And a quick note before we jump in, News Corp, owner of The Wall Street Journal, has a content licensing partnership with OpenAI. So Berber, what was OpenAI CEO Sam Altman's vision with Sora?
He's always envisioned AI to be more than a basic chatbot or a productivity tool that can do scheduling tasks for you and build a PowerPoint. Like, he always had a vision of AI reshaping popular culture, reshaping entertainment, and Sora very much fit into that vision. He wanted OpenAI to have a social media app similar to Meta with Instagram, and he just wanted OpenAI to enter into popular culture. And with Sora, he had this vision of enabling the creativity of its users. So a lot of people would probably say Sora is the opposite of that. People don't create their own art. They just outsource it to AI. And obviously, Sora is very tied with this idea of AI slop. But I think in Sam's mind, he really felt like this could have been almost like a ChatGPT moment for the creative space.
Okay, so that ChatGPT moment never really came to be. How did OpenAI arrive at the decision to shut down Sora?
OpenAI is a very different company today than it was 6 months ago when they released Sora. OpenAI is preparing to go public later this year. They need to grow their revenue very quickly. And what's happened in the past few months is that it's become very clear that the easiest and fastest way to make money in AI right now is to sell these so-called productivity tools to businesses and to developers. So the thing that really has taken off in the past few months is Claude Code, which was released by Anthropic. It's kind of the tool of choice for software engineers. And Anthropic also released Claude Cowork, which is a work productivity tool for AI. So these are more boring tools, right? Like, they are designed to help you code, to help you outsource the more monotonous back office tasks. But businesses are willing to pay a lot of money right now for those tools, and Anthropic has really just been ahead of OpenAI. And so OpenAI is kind of in the middle of this really big strategy shift to focus on deploying as many resources, and specifically their computing resources, towards catching up in building these productivity tools. So earlier this month, they announced a new kind of super app, which they hope will be this AI assistant on steroids for businesses. And what happened was that Sora really just, it no longer made sense within the kind of strategic roadmap of OpenAI, right? Because it wasn't generating much money and it was incredibly computationally intensive. And so OpenAI just decided that they couldn't really afford to keep Sora alive because they're in this precarious moment where they have to devote as many computing resources as possible towards winning that coding and enterprise business.
What does pulling the plug on Sora tell us more broadly about where the industry is heading?
So the thing that's really interesting with these labs is that they all started off as research labs, like kind of funding big, bold, ambitious research projects, and they weren't super concerned with revenue. But now with OpenAI and Anthropic both trying to IPO by the end of this year, that research culture has gone away because now the executives at those companies are just looking at research that will produce a very specific return on investment. So in the current environment, what that means is basically funding research that makes AI better at coding and makes AI better at completing productivity-related tasks. It definitely isn't funding research into video generation. The death of Sora also symbolizes the death of the kind of more academic or research-first culture of these labs and encapsulates how they very much are focused on making money and the commercial aspects of AI over the more pure research aspects of it. As OpenAI inches towards an IPO, it'll be interesting to see what else they choose to cut and if there are any other signs that Sam Altman's sort of grand vision for the company is getting a pretty harsh reality check.
That was WSJ reporter Berber Jin. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. If you're a listener on Spotify, don't forget to leave us a comment. Today's show was produced by me, Julie Chang, with supervising producer Katie Ferguson. We'll be back later this morning with your TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
Enterprises are already creating efficiencies with agentic AI, particularly in areas like finance, HR, and IT, says Jason Gerzadas, CEO of Deloitte US.
Those will continue to proliferate and strengthen, and it'll change the work that gets done, and work will increasingly be delivered through agentic capabilities.
Gerzadas believes the most transformative impacts of agentic systems are still to come.
It will fuel innovation, it will fuel the pivot into market creation, market diversification strategies that will open up new markets to clients and to organizations who are looking for growth and looking for differentiated access to new markets, which I think is the most exciting thing.
Visit Deloitte.com to learn how your enterprise can help successfully leverage agentic AI.
The views and opinions expressed by podcast speakers and guests are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Deloitte or its personnel, nor does Deloitte advocate or endorse any individuals or entities featured on the episodes. Custom content from WSJ is a unit of the Wall Street Journal Advertising Department. The Wall Street Journal News Organization was not involved in the creation of this content.